That trip is very wearing, you know, and he preached a lot, and he did a good job. How many of you got to see it? Oh, it was really, really good. And I thought, really, he should have rested last Sunday, but I thought since it was Resurrection Sunday, he should be here, you know. And so I swapped out with him. So he's here today. Okay, quick question. How many of you, anyway, we got to talking about some stuff. I'll change gears for just a second. And he said, Phil, I really think you should share that. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. And so how many of you, if your boss called you into his office and said, you know, there's a lot of benefits that you as an employee are not getting. You know, you got your paycheck, and that's because you work the hours. You put in the hours, you know. How many of you work, say, a 40-hour work week or a 30-hour work week? Raise your hand up real high. Yeah, some of you are not raising your hand, but that's okay. That's okay. And your boss calls you in the office and they say, you know, these are some benefits that you're missing out on. You know, we have the opportunity that you could get an extra 4 weeks of vacation. Would you want it? Some of you didn't say a word. Would you want it?
Yes.
Now, you know me. I'm not him. So you're going to have to help me with this, okay? Okay. Would you want an extra 4 weeks of vacation?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. Or, you know, we have the possibility. You know, I worked for a doctor, you know, and he called us in one day, and he said, you know what I've been thinking? And he said, we've never really done this, but I'm thinking, if you guys would help me to build the income in the practice and you would help me to get in some new patients, for every new patient past 10, I'll give you $10. Would you be willing to do that? And I said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Man, we started getting almost $1,000 a week because we is hauling in the new patients. You know? Would you be willing if your boss said, you know, we could, and then he said, if we make over, it was $32,000 a month. He said, if we make over $32,000 a month, I'll give you $100 for every $1,000 we make over $32,000. And I said, I can do that. I can do that. Benefits. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Benefits. And we started making $100,000 a month, and we started raking in the bucks. So what about you? Your boss calls you in, and he says, we can do this, and you can make an extra $1,000 a month. How many of you would want that? There's a few hands that did not, you would not believe it, but there's a few hands that did not want to get an extra $1,000 a month. Let's try that one more time. How many of you would like an extra $1,000 a month? Yeah, see, some of you raised your hand now, you know. Benefits. And how many of you, he says, you know what? We have a business home. It's palatial. It's got a swimming pool and a tennis court, and it's got, you know, all these nice things and amenities that go with it. If you are a good employee and you do what we ask you to do and you don't cause us any trouble, you know what? That house is just sitting there. And, you know, we'll just move all your stuff into it for you, and you can just live in it long as you want to. It's got about 6 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms. How many of you would take them up on it?
Yeah.
A few of you still not raising your hands. You know? And you know what? It comes with a brand new Bentley. Take you up on it, right? Benefits. Benefits of your job. Benefits of working at a good company. You know, there's a lot of companies out there like this. You know, they do exist. They do exist. I want you to keep those things in mind, okay? Now, keep the positiveness in mind as I read you these scriptures, okay? Can you do that?
Yes.
I'm going to read you some scriptures, then we're going to get back to it. I got a couple of them to read, all right? Ephesians 2:12 in the Amplified. Don't lose your happiness, okay? All right? Ephesians 2:10. Did I say something wrong? No. Ephesians 2:10 Amplified. Let's try that one. It's one of my favorite verses. It's not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. Okay. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. He made us, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. He planned beforehand for us, taking paths He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living what? The good life. The good, say that with me. The good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." Say, He prearranged and made ready
for me to live
a good life. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He prearranged and made ready for me to live a good life. Now erase everything that's going on in your life. Take your eraser and erase it right now. Take your hand and just erase it. No matter what's going on in your life, erase all the bad. And think about this verse. Put it back up there. I want you to see it with your own eyes again. Look at that part. He prearranged and wait a minute. Go back up there. He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living what? A good life. That's God's plan for us.
Amen.
How many of you have kids? What is your plan for them? A good life. If you could just prearrange and plan for them, what would you plan for them?
A good life.
That's what you want for them.
Right.
Every day, you'd go ahead and you'd plan out a good life for them.
Yes.
You wouldn't want them to have anything else but a good life.
Yes.
Well, that's the way our Father is for us. He wants us to have
a good life.
That's His hope. That's His desire. That's why He sent Jesus, for us to have a good life. Now, don't forget that, okay? All right. Isaiah 1:19. How many of you already know what it says? Oh, yeah, a few of you. Put it up there. This is King James. If you be willing and obedient, you shall what? Good of the land. Again. He wants us to have the what?
Good of the land.
The good of the land. But there are qualifiers.
Right.
If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the what?
Good of the land.
All right. Let's read Job 36, verse 11. In the Amplified, sorry. That's a good one too. Just said it differently. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy. Keep it up there just a minute. Look at those last two words. They're nice and big. How many of you could use some pleasantness and joy in your life? This is God's plan for us.
Amen.
Anything else is not God's plan for us.
Right.
Pleasantness and joy, a good life, good things,
mm-hmm.
willing and obedient, good of the land. If it's good out there and you see it, that's God's plan for you.
Amen.
Anything else is not His plan for you. He wants us to have the good, the best. He didn't create it for anybody else. He created it, predestined us, wants us to have the good. If you can see it, if you've ever seen it, it's for you. You don't have to dream about it. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to think about it. If it's created in this earth, He created it for you.
Amen.
For you. So, here's my question. Why are so many of us hurting and we don't have it? Huh? I don't want to make it complicated today. Okay? I want to keep it really, really, really simple. God predestined us to have these things. It's not complicated. I know Keith and I left home and we went to Rhema. And some of these things I've told parts and bits here and there. But I want to maybe give you a fuller picture this morning of a few of them. We went to Rhema and we left everybody we knew, everything we knew, and everybody thought we had lost our minds, that we were going to Bible college. Nobody ever saw us as being preachers. Keith was the smartest kid in school. I was just me. I'm still just me, you see? But we never were what you would have thought of as being Bible people. I'll put it that way. We didn't come up that way. Keith wasn't in church all the time. He was going to be, I'm unsure at this point what he was going to be. You know, he was going to be a martial arts something or another. He had always worked at being that. And he was studying martial arts and had done that and really worked at it a lot. And I don't know that he was going to make any money doing that. But he was going to get his head kicked in a few times and rattled. But anyway, God had another plan. And thank you, Lord, right after we got out of school, most people aren't aware, but 2 days after we got out of school, we ran off and we got married. Well, just a couple of months after that, maybe not even a couple of months, something happened when we got married. It was like God did something because we started going to his grandmother's church and the Lord started dealing with us about some things and we ended up at Rhema. Well, having ended up at Rhema, the Lord dealt with Keith, help Brother Hagen. Help Brother Hagen. Now, I wasn't helping Brother Hagen. I was working. And you've heard me tell the story about while Keith was helping Brother Hagen that Mom called me aside and basically I had never met her. Now I want to get this picture clear before we go very far forward. So I want to rewind just a minute and get this crystal clear in your mind. Keith was a student, first year. We had maybe been there a few months. Okay? I had never been to a church except for maybe his Pentecostal church a couple of times and his Baptist church a few times. I was raised Catholic. Now, how many of you in here are Catholic? Were. Thank you. Excuse my language. We're Catholic. were Catholic once in your lifetime. Lots of hands, okay? So you understand, Catholic is a little bit different, okay? Catholic is a lot different. It's far extreme different, okay? So when Mom Hagen called me to the side and made a beeline for me and basically chewed me out at this great big school that was covered with people and called me out and chewed me out, I was scared. Do you understand that? I was really scared because I thought a lot of stuff. I thought, basically, she's the head of this school that God has sent us to, and she's calling me out and telling me that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Well, but what she didn't know is before we left, and I had been baptized. Does anybody remember what the Lord told me when I was baptized? Submit to my husband. That's the only thing he told me. And I thought, what does that word mean? I had never even heard that word. Because remember, I was Catholic. So Mom tells me I need to do what? She didn't use that word, but she basically said, you need to be here with your husband. You need to be supporting your husband. You need to be a part of what he's doing. And I thought, wow. And what had the Lord told my husband to do? Help Brother Hagen. Now, I'm working. He's not working. So if I'm going to help Brother Hagen, that means I got to be around in order to help Brother Hagen. Now, we've been to a lot of churches, and we've been to a lot of ministries, and we've had a lot of people in our churches. And during these times, you always see, we went to one church, I remember it vividly, and the husband says, oh no, I'm the pastor, my wife doesn't come to church, she wants no part of this. Well, it wasn't long until that wife got pregnant from somebody in the church and had his baby. Can you genuinely do that sort of thing? Can it work is what I'm trying to say. Can it work? If the Lord tells one of you to do something, then what are you supposed to do? See how quiet it is in here? God really only has one plan for you when you get married. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And this wasn't in anywhere in my notes. Okay, but you got to start there before you can go forward. You cannot do the will of God until you find out the will of God. You want God's best for your life, you got to find out where He wants you and do what He wants you to do. Now, it was not my plan to go to Bible school, but when we went on the tour to Rhema, the Lord dealt with me. This is where you're supposed to go. And I told Keith, you ever felt like you were supposed to do something and you didn't want to do it? You remember the story, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I remembered yesterday or the day before, whatever it is, Mom Hagen has written one book. In all of the years of ministry that she's had, she's written one book. Now, she supported Brother Hagen all the days of her life. There was a lot of stuff. I had the privilege of being really, really, really close to Mom Hagen. Probably closer than most. Closer than some of her kids would tell you, closer than some of them. I had a great privilege. But she wrote one book. And let me show you the title of it. Can you read that title? Zoom in. Let's see. The price is not greater than God's grace. Now, why would she say that? In all the years that she spent in the ministry, why would she write one book and that be the title of it? Yeah, you want a picture of it? Some people are taking pictures of it. There you go. The price is not greater than God's grace. Because in order to have God's best, we talked about 2 weeks ago, we have to decide if we're going to yield to the flesh or to the spirit. Right? Your flesh is never going to want to do what God wants you to do. I know. I never wanted to submit. Not one day of my life did I want to submit. Never. But when I began to do what God wanted me to do, I began to see the blessings of God come in my life. The things that we're talking about, when I began to do what God said do, began to help Keith help Brother Hagen, and I began to help Mom Hagen, then new patients started rolling in the door. And instead of my check being at the time, this has been 30 years ago, 40 years, I don't know, 40 years ago, however long it was. 50, I don't know, I'm not calculating. My check was probably $150 a week. But by the time you added the new patients, it was $350 a week. Helped us to get from an apartment on Shoot 'em Up Alley. Do you hear me? To an apartment with a washer and a dryer. When I began to do the things that God was calling me to do. Now here are some of the things God was calling me to do. Are they connected? I'll let you decide. Mom Hagen, during that time, had breast cancer. Most people don't know that, but she had breast cancer. And she needed help. And Brother Hagen was still traveling all the time. And the Lord dealt with us, me, to help her. And she would ask me to do things for her. And I began to do more and more and more for her. You know, whether it was, most people would think these are carnal things. But here's the thing you have to judge. Did God tell you to do it, or did He not tell you to do it? That's all you have to do. That's the only thing you have to do. And when God told us to help them, He told us something else. Don't judge. Learn and help. You hear that? Don't judge. Learn and help. Say it with me. Don't judge.
Don't judge.
Learn.
Learn.
And help. Okay? So when she would call, it wouldn't matter what we were doing with our ministry or what I was doing with work or what we were doing with anything. I would drop it. And I would go. There was a real nice shopping area there called Utica Square. I would drop it. She'd say, can you be here at 10 and take me shopping? No matter what was going, that was my job, to go and help her try on clothes. Or whatever the case would be. I did this for years. Then we started traveling. And I helped Mom. I remember one night, we had been doing this for years. And I remember one night in particular, after she had gotten through the chemo and gotten through all the stuff with her cancer. And if anybody knows anybody that's had cancer, she had what was called lymphedema in her arm. And her arm would just swell up really, really big. And this was years ago before they knew all the things they know today. And they would make you do what they would call drain the arm and rub it and move out the lymphedema stuff that was in the arm. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. And so I would have to do that every single night. Whenever she was ready. Right. Not in my time frame, but in her time frame. Whether we were at home or we were on the road, whenever it was. I would drive over to their house. Or I would go to the hotel room wherever we were and do whatever was necessary. Well, this one particular night, I don't know what was going on, and we were tired. We had been going night and day, and we were in the hotel room. And it had gotten to be like 2:30 in the morning, and she hadn't called yet. And I thought, well, she's not going to call tonight, you know, for me to come. Well, the phone rings at about 2:30, 2:45 in the morning, and she says, I'm ready for you to come. And I was asleep. And Keith says, Phil, Mom's ready for you. And I just started crying because I was tired. I was sick. I just was drained. I had been doing all my stuff, all the stuff to help Keith, all the stuff to help Brother Hagen, all the stuff to do all our stuff, plus taking care of her. And I just started crying. And I said, Keith, I just can't do it. I cannot do it. And he says, Phil, make sure that you keep your heart right. You don't want to lose all your benefits and your reward from doing all of this. Now listen to me carefully. You can do something day after day, week after week, year after year, night after night in my case, and begin to begrudge it. Mm-hmm. As much as I loved Mom Hagen and Brother Hagen, I could begin to begrudge what I was having to do. Weary in well-doing. And not reap my beautiful home with the tennis court and the swimming pool. And not reap my Bentley car. I didn't use those things just as whim earlier, as pay that you could get. You have to, the scripture says in Proverbs, guard your heart. For out of it, or what? The issues of life. Out of it comes everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Everything in your life. Do you know, you can look at me and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I don't mind doing it. And walk away and begrudge it. Mm-hmm. And not really, really want to do it. But your problem then is not with me. It's with your heart. Because God looks at the heart. And even if you got your paycheck, your benefits, say benefits,
benefits.
Your rewards, your benefits, your blessings don't come necessarily from me. They come, look up there. You can't see anything but the roof. But they come from Him. Now, at the time, we weren't even getting a paycheck from them. So nothing we were getting was from them. So everything we were getting was from the Lord. And you don't want to cut off your blessings. How many of you have been believing and believing and believing for extra? The benefits part. You understand what I'm saying? The benefits part. But you've been maybe grumbling or murmuring. And this other word, gossiping. You know, when we worked for them, there was almost this spirit amongst the people that would gossip about the way they were doing stuff all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying? They would huddle in little masses and talk about they ought not do it this way. They ought to do it this way. If it was mine, I would do it this way. Well, isn't it a funny thing that God didn't see fit to call you to lead it? Mm-hmm. It's just a funny thing that He knew you existed mm-hmm. all the time. But yet and still, He called Brother Hagen to lead it. And not you. Wow, God, did you miss it? God, you missed it. You called Brother Hagen instead of me. How dare you? Well, you might as well be saying that. You understand what I'm saying? When you stand off in a little huddle and you talk about the way that they're doing it. Do you know, I looked it up and it says that gossip and how wrong it is and what happens to you in the Bible is 133 times. Wow. 133 times. I just wondered if maybe we're confessing that we're getting our houses and our buildings and our lands, and then in 15 minutes we're talking about our boss. Or we're talking about our neighbor. Or we're talking about the person that our blessing might come through. Could it be that when the Lord is trying to bless us, what if I would have said, I'm not going and doing her arm? And even if I would have only told Keith, and I knew good and well he would not have told another person, and I'd have said, you know, they got money, they could hire a nurse to come and do this. I know they could afford to get somebody to come and do this. Don't they see I'm going night and day and I just can't do any more? Don't they care? would have lost out?
You.
Would they have lost out on anything?
No.
No. They would have never even known it. It would have been me that lost out. I would have lost out on my benefits. I know through the years, time and time again, they would ask me to do stuff that I remember one day, Mom Hagen, right after a chemo treatment, she was really sick. And Dad called me. We were in another hotel. We were in one of those hotels that has the kitchenettes. I can't remember what name it was, but it had the little kitchen, the little stove and stuff. And he said, Mom's really sick. And she said all she would eat would be some potato soup. Can you come and cook her some? And I thought, I have never cooked potato soup in my life. But I said, yes, I can. That was my answer. I didn't say, I don't know how to cook potato soup. I don't have any potatoes. Where am I going to get this from? We're in a strange city. What am I going to do? How am I going to get this? We didn't have phones with Google on it, how to cook potato soup. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was no time to go to the library and look up potato soup. There was no Google. But there was the Holy Spirit. And I trusted Him more than I trusted Google anyway. Do you understand? I went to the grocery store. I prayed in tongues up one aisle. I prayed in tongues down another aisle. I did it as quickly as I could because she was sick and she was waiting on some potato soup to make her feel better. I had to pray to find the grocery store. I didn't grumble about having to cook her something I had never cooked before. Or grumble about, why can't they bring somebody to do this stuff for them? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I didn't even let it get in my heart about, I don't know how to do this. How do they expect me to do this sort of stuff? Who do they think I am? How am I supposed to know how to do this? I've never done this before. I have done so many things I've never done before. But I look back on it now and I thank God because I learned how to trust the Holy Spirit. And He's the greatest asset that I have. I don't just automatically run to Google. I run to the Holy Spirit. And I made that potato soup and I kid you not. She said, Phil, that's the best potato soup I ever ate in my life. Now, during that time, people all around us gossiping. Brother Hagen should do this. Brother Hagen should do that. Ken Lynette should do this. Ken Lynette should do that. Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? They should. Mom and Dad should do this. Why don't they do that? How come they're not doing this? Why don't they do that? Keith and I. Do you understand?
Yes.
Not that we were perfect. We were just doing our best to obey what the Lord had told us to do. And not only did we just zip our mouths, but we guarded our hearts. And we didn't let it come out. And we have learned. Now, this is a very big point. Now, if you didn't hear anything else I said today, listen to this. There are spirits that will push you to get around people that's all they want to do is talk about other people and murmur and complain about the way things are, about your family, about this, about that. And you'll get online and you'll say something about them, or you'll get on the phone and you'll say something about them, or you'll text something about them, or you'll do something about them. And if you get involved in that, you will never have your fancy house, your fancy car. You'll never have your bills paid. You'll never have your needs met. You can't. Because when God wants to bless somebody, what does He do? You should know it. He looks at your
heart.
He looks at your heart. He looks at your heart. And not only does the Lord look at your heart, but the first place the devil goes is your heart to condemn you. When you go to believe for something, where does he go? Weren't you just talking about somebody? You're going to go and ask him for a raise? Weren't you just talking about him? Huh? The devil and the Lord both look at what's going on inside you. We can't be the way the world is. We talked about this number, about our flesh. We got to start backing it up a little bit about this murmuring and complaining. And sometimes you just got to get away from people. Keith and I used to travel. And Keith, if he watches this... He'd get in the car with all these pastors and he wouldn't say a word. So they'd start asking me questions. They'd start saying, didn't we hear that Rhema was doing this? Didn't we hear that what they call him, the old man's doing this? They never called him Brother Hagin. Didn't we hear this was going on at Rhema? Didn't we hear that this was going on? Now they do it with Brother Copeland. Didn't we hear this was going on? Oh, really? Oh, really? We actually had one time. Somebody set us up. Somebody set us up and had us go to a church and had us set up to where they were going to report back to the Hagins and asked us all sorts of questions that we would say something negative about them. And all we said was some good. And here's the thing, guys. What do you want people doing to you? There's this funny scripture about sowing and
reaping.
Sowing and reaping. And if you want people talking about you behind your back, it doesn't matter what you have done. Heard, it doesn't matter what you have seen, doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter. We are not the judge of anybody.
That's right.
We're just not the judge. God didn't put us here to judge anybody, because here's the thing. You don't really know what the Lord told them to do. You don't know. Just recently, I had somebody tell me, you didn't appreciate, or you haven't appreciated the gifts that I've given you. And I thought, oh my Lord, I am so sorry. I would never want to not appreciate something somebody gave me. But that's the way they saw it. That I haven't appreciated something that they gave me. So you've really got to watch about how people see things. Because everybody doesn't see things the way that you see them. Do you understand that?
I know, right?
Everybody doesn't see things the way that you see them. Some people just got saved. Some people have a Catholic background. You understand what I'm saying by that? They just see things differently. Some people have just barely been saved. Some people have grown up in church all their life and they've heard enough to sink the Titanic, but they've never done anything with it. But they are good judges of everybody else. Do you know what I mean by that? If you ask them to stand and believe God for anything, they're going down with the ship. But now they can judge everybody around them. And you know how you can tell that? I'm going to give you a real secret. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit of their lives. That's what the Bible says. A person's known by his
fruit.
Fruit. How's things going in their life? Are they blessed? Is their marriage good? Are their kids good? Are their finances good? Are their... See how quiet it got? That just because they can quote you 5,000 scriptures don't mean a thing. You know, it means nothing. What does mean something is what they're producing. Okay? Let me read this verse to you. Are they in a hurry today? It's 11:30. They're in a hurry. Okay. Let me read you this verse here. Proverbs 16:2 in the NIV. Yeah, Proverbs. Somebody says Proverbs. I said yes. Proverbs 16:2 in the NIV. All a person's ways seem pure to the people looking at them. Huh? To the outside or looking in. Huh? Huh? Who do all a person's ways seem good to? To themselves. But their motives are weighed by the Lord. If I would have only been doing those things for Mom Hagen, for what I could get out of it, if I'd have only been doing those things for Brother Hagen, for what I'm going to get out of it, how long do you think I'd have been there? Let's take a vote. How many of you think we'd have stayed there very long? Raise your hand up high. Stand up. I want to see you. How many of you think Brother Hagen was spiritual? Hmm? Do you think he would have been able to detect we had ulterior motives? How many of you think spiritual things are spiritual? And if people have ulterior motives, God looks at the
heart.
He looks at why people are doing things. He wants to see what people's reasoning is for doing stuff. Why are they doing it? What are they hoping to get out of this? What's their motivation? Why do you come clean the church? Huh? Why do you want to stand up here as altar care workers? Why do you want to sing in the choir? Why do you want to operate a camera? Why did you give that money? God looks at what's behind. It doesn't matter who saw it. Doesn't matter what you thought about it. God cuts right through every bit of that. He takes that sharp blade and he said, you did this because you love me.
Thank you, Lord. That's it. Yep. That's it.
And I know that. And here's your reward.
All right.
And I did this for you because... I love you.
Thank you.
It's the very same thing that it talks about the woman that washed his feet. Do you understand that? She was not doing that to be seen of people. Right? A lot of people thought it was. But was it? No. It was because she loved him. It made a spectacle, made a smell. But was her heart right? Absolutely it was. And that's all the Lord is looking for. It's not saying you can't do something to be seen of people. What it is saying is, when you do it, make sure that your motives. Or to the right person. Or to the right person. When we do things, we don't want to talk about anybody. We don't want to judge anybody. You don't know why they did what they did. Don't get around people. You may have to break off some friendships. You may have to break off with your sister or your brother or your mother or your cousin or your kids for a little bit. If all they want to do is talk about people till you get that emoji that the zipper's on the mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Till you get built up enough to where you don't have to respond the way that they're responding. And you're strong enough to just say, you know, that last song... What was it? Every praise is to our God. You may just have to say, every praise is to my... In the middle of them talking about somebody. And they may think you've lost your mind. But you're not talking about anybody anymore. And that is exactly what has happened to people. They don't have anything else to talk about. The conversation gets still and the conversation gets quiet and they get a little leery about what should I say. So they think about this person. And here's the thing. They may really care about this person. It may be their boss. It may be their family member. It may be their friend. It would be like me talking about Mom and Dad Hagen when we were traveling with them and somebody say something ugly about them. And me pipe in with the conversation when I loved Mom and Dad Hagen. But somebody say something ugly and because I'm in the car with them and I pipe in with that because I'm there with them and it's what they're talking about and I want to be their friend at the moment. How many times has that happened?
Too many.
You want to be popular with them at the moment. You want to have a lot of friends at the moment. You don't want to know something that's more important than friends at the moment. Your needs being met.
That's right.
You getting all the benefits that you're supposed to get. You learning how to zip your mouth and your house not caving in.
Mm-hmm.
This verse. 1 Corinthians 10. King James, 10:10. This is the New Testament, right?
Yeah.
Corinthians. How many of you know Corinthians is in the New Testament?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 10. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured. And what happened to them? They got the benefits that the Lord had prepared for them. Right?
No.
Who is doing evil to the body of Christ? They were what? Who's the destroyer? The devil is waiting to destroy us. The first verse said, living the good life which God has prepared for us. Who can stop us from getting the good things that God has prepared for us?
Yes,
our mouths. Our mouths can stop us. Our hearts can stop us. You know, when you eat something, how many of you are going to leave here and go eat something today? Who's not going to eat the rest of the day? Raise your hand. Who's not going to eat anything the rest of the day? That's what I thought. So when you eat something, what happens? You eat it and it becomes a part of you, correct? When you say something with your mouth, it goes down in you and it becomes a part of you. How many of you have ever said something and you've gone away and what do you feel? Yuck. You wish you hadn't said it. And you wish you could take it back. You wish you could throw it up. You ever eat any bad food? What do you wish you could do? Throw it up. Throw it up. That's the way it is when we say something that we wish we wouldn't have said. We wish we could throw it up out of us. Get it up out of us. Isn't it better not to eat anything bad? If you know something is bad, will you do your best to avoid eating it? That's how we have to be with murmuring and talking about other people and judging other people. Because it's not hurting them. It's cutting off our benefits. It's cutting off all the things that we've been confessing that we're believing for. No matter what anybody else does, we have a full-time job judging ourselves. I find myself, if I've been around people a lot and they've been talking about people, man, I have to watch it or I'll be done said something about somebody and I have to repent. And I'm like, oh, dummy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about people. Because I know it doesn't affect them. It affects me. Listen to this verse. Let's see if I can find it here. Let's see. Romans 2, verse 1. Amplified. You should get this and put it on your mirror. You remember the olden days in the 80s? Some of you weren't even born. How many of you were not born in the 80s? Look at the hands. So you have a good thing to do that you've never done before. How many of you like doing things you've never done before? Here you go. All right. Here you go. Get you something and type this in your printer and get you a piece of tape and put this on your mirror. Okay? Your bathroom mirror or your refrigerator. How many of you spend more time on the refrigerator door than you do in your mirror? Okay? Whichever one of them you spend the most time going to, okay? Whichever one, you decide. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to judge you, you know, okay? So, Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have a dozen excuses. Huh? Amplified. You have 150 excuses. Huh? You have two excuses. You have one excuse. You have what?
No.
What does no excuse mean? None, zero, not, zip, zero, zip it. Zipper mouth. No excuse or defense. There is no defense. The lawyer cannot defend you. There's none. You're going to be judged. Or justification. Oh man, whoever you are who judges or condemns another. That's all we're going to read. There's no need in going on. You have no defense. Read that every day. Remind yourself of it. I have no defense for judging my boss. I have no defense for judging the people that work with me. Why didn't they get that done on time? Not my place. Why didn't they come to church today? Not my place. Why did they wear that? Not my place. Maybe you should buy them something new. Not my place. Why did they go there? Not my place. Why did they say that? Not my place. My place is that I guard my heart from getting upset when the Lord tells me to do something. I don't let it bother me. When the Lord says, go do mom's arm at 2:30 in the morning, I don't start crying and say, I can't. My flesh is screaming. It needs sleep. Mm-hmm. You hear me? And I lose my reward. This flesh is fickle. What percentage flesh are we? Are we building it backwards a little bit? Start cutting back on our flesh just a little bit? How many of you want the benefit of the $1,000 a month? The peel off $1,000 a month. Yeah. How many of you want to be able to move into the nice house with the swimming pool and the 8-car garage and the Bentley? I'm not just saying these things. As we did those things with the Hagans, and the Lord helped us to not judge, to watch our mouths, to guard our hearts, He began to be able to bless us, to give us the extra money, to give us the nice houses, to give us the nice cars. It wasn't just because we sowed and we tithed. The benefits don't just coming from sowing and tithing. It comes from doing the other things. The benefits come from doing these extra things that He tells us to do. And watching this, you get your piece of tape. If you know you're going to be around somebody. I know when I used to get around my family, I'd come back and I'd just say, you ever been around a bunch of Cajuns? And you'd say something before you even realize it. And then you'd wish you could throw it up. I don't want to have to walk away from something and feel icky inside. I hate that feeling. I like feeling clear-hearted. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Lord. If you do miss it, lay your head on your pillow. Or immediately, the best thing to do, here's the thing that'll help you stop doing it. Keith used to say, Phil, go back and tell him you messed up. I'd think, Keith, I'm not doing that. He'd say, it'll stop you from doing it. I'm like, well, I'm sure it would. So I started doing it, and it stopped me from doing it. He thinks he's so smart. He was, and it stopped me from doing it. If you talk about somebody, go back and say, I shouldn't have said that about them. I love them. I shouldn't have said that about them. They're my friend. They're my boss. They've been nothing but good to me. And I shouldn't have said that about them. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what's going on in their life. They're actually a friend of mine. And it'll stop you from doing that quicker if you really want to stop. And I wanted to stop. He's smart. Don't tell him. He'll think of something else for me to do. It's the truth. It's the truth. Stand up on your feet with me. We've gone long enough.